Morning, church.
We start our third lesson in our series, Becoming a Prayer Warrior. And I hope that this morning again will encourage you, and that God will bless you as you continue to strive forward for Him. We're going to look at the prayer of Hezekiah, and it's an interesting passage of scripture this. In fact, what we need to know about Hezekiah is one of the greatest kings to rule over God's people. He was a good king. In fact, if we look at any of the other kings, his record or the report of Hezekiah's rule is covered extensively throughout the Old Testament, and the works that he did. So he was an incredible king in many instances. He did good. He was about God. And now if he finds himself at a point where he's about to die, or he's coming towards the end of his reign, and Isaiah brings this message to him, telling him that God is saying, get your house in order, you are going to die. Now, I wonder if that was us this morning, and that was the message that we received, what would our reaction be toward that message? But what we note here, which is also very interesting, is that the word used for ill here in the original text, if you look at verse 1, it says that he became mortally ill. And let's go to Isaiah 38 quickly. In verse 1, it says, in those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, depending on your versions, or very sick. And the word ill basically meant anything from a general illness through to maybe a stroke. And it's a very unique word used in the Hebrew text here to describe what he's going through. And if we look at verse 14 and 15, let's go there quickly, of Isaiah 38. We'll see exactly what the kind of illness that he's going through, and the extent of his illness. Verse 14 and 15 says, like a swallow, like a crane, so I twitter. I moan like a dove. My eyes look wistfully to the heights. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security. 15, what shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I will wonder about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. So we can see it's a combination of so many things that he's going through. And perhaps that maybe he couldn't speak. Maybe he was slurring. Maybe he was just in a space where he couldn't focus properly. Whatever it might be. But the word ill could mean anything from, as I said, from maybe your general flu through to some serious diseases or illnesses that we have today. And God just describes this, that basically this illness is going to cause his death. And so I'm sure that many of us can relate to that. We've been in a place within our life where at some point we just feel like, you know, that's it, we're about to die, just maybe spiritually, and we're just broken. And we've just got no other place to turn or have any other option. But isn't it incredible what we see Hezekiah do here? When his back's against the wall, where there's nothing more that he can do, there's no other options, he knows that God has brought this message. He's seen the power of God work through him. God's hand has been on him throughout his ministry, throughout his leadership of God's people. So he knows who God is. And this message comes directly from God. He knows that there's no one else that he can turn to. And so he turns his back toward the wall, so to speak. He turns to the wall, and what does he begin to do? He begins to pray. He begins to talk to God. He doesn't look to any other avenue of rescue, as sometimes we will do, but he just turns his back on the wall. He faces this wall, and he begins to talk to God. Look at verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. It's incredible, isn't it, that this is what this man would do. A king who had everything, a king who had power, and yet he understands that there's no one else who can bring about victory in this situation except God. And so he really appeals to God with a genuine heart, and he begins to pray. Look at verse 3. And so verse 3, we see that he begins to recount his life before God. It's almost as though he's reminding God, God, did you forget about what I've done? Look at verse 3 and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. The original text in the Hebrew translates it as this: I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done good in your sight. There's only three other kings throughout the text that is recorded as having perfect hearts or good hearts. And that is David, that is Asa, and that is Amaziah, which God records as having perfect hearts. Next up, Hezekiah. But it's interesting that he reminds God about what he has done, as if to say God has forgotten about our works, isn't it? But the fact that the text says that he wept bitterly indicates the position that this man is at. And he's really low. And his heart is really focused on God, and he doesn't know what to do. And all he can do is cry, and he cries to God. I want you to note that throughout this text, in a reference to this, the 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 and following, you'll see a bit more of the story. But what we see here is that he wept bitterly, he appeals to God, or reminds God about his life. And isn't it incredible that God at no point ever refutes his claim? God never says, oh really? What about? God at no point ever refutes his claim. He doesn't dispute it, he doesn't deny him, and God certainly does not distance himself from this man. And isn't this incredible that this is how God works with us even within our life? He never denies us, and certainly doesn't distance himself from us. It's usually the other way around. But sometimes that's the attitude that we have, isn't it? At this point, if this was you, I thought if this was me, I thought, oh, clearly God has left me. If this message can come from God, and God is saying, set your house in order, you're going to die, clearly, God is done with me. So what's the point? There's something about Hezekiah's urgency or need or desire perhaps to live that he appeals to God in this way. And I wonder in our life, you know, what fervor and passion and desire do we have to really live and live for God? Let's continue through the text this morning. So he says, remember now, Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Look at God's response in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now I want you to note that Hezekiah had to deal with some serious things in his life. And I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 16 now, just to see exactly what this man had to deal with throughout his reign and his life, his walk with God. So it wasn't an easy job, and this is why I think he was recorded in such a way. He probably had one of the toughest jobs or toughest ministries or rule because of his background and what he needed to contend with. Look at 2 Kings now, and just allow me to get there. Chapter 16. And let's read verses 2 through 4. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord had driven out from before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Now understand that Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. So Hezekiah had some serious issues that he needed to deal with the idolatry that Israel was under. And he changes and transforms Israel through the help of God and through his heart. And so understand the background now as he's saying this to God. He's saying, God, but I've lived faithfully for you. I've done everything that you have expected of me. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I've done what you've asked to the best of what I can. And I've honored you in every single way. And based on this bold move that he makes, God says what? Isaiah, hold up. Just hold up. And speak to my servant once again. And tell him what I'm going to do. Because of his faithfulness, because of his faith in who I am. Interesting, isn't it? Does Hezekiah ever ask God to keep him alive? Sure. As we read this text. All he says to God is what? God, I have what? I have lived a life for you. That's all he needs to say, because God can fill in the blanks, isn't it? And we forget that sometimes. But he goes to God, understand this, he goes to God, he doesn't complain to God. He doesn't moan about the situation. He just appeals to God with the right heart. No complaint, no moaning, no groanings, just the faithfulness about him, saying, God, I need you right now. Look at God's response. Church, we need to get to the understanding that complaining is futile. God knows our struggles. And it's futile sometimes. But crying to God can be very fruitful in our walk. Because we're meeting God at a point where our hearts are so sincere. And God will do the rest. He knows what we need even before we get to talking to him. Amen? But this is the only place in the scripture where God sees someone's tears. And that was incredible for me to note. Go and say to Hezekiah, verse 5, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And we could define it in this way. Is when God sees for years, it says that he hears us. He hears our prayers all the time, church. We belong to him. Amen. He says he sees our tears. He understands the struggles that you and I go through. And then he says, I'll deliver you. Or maybe you could translate it in this way. I will lead you. And this is the beauty, isn't it, of the God that we serve. That when we ask, when we respond to him with a righteous and wholehearted heart, he responds in a faithful way. I've heard your prayer. You think that would have been good enough for Hezekiah? Perhaps. Knowing the walk that he's walked. Not expecting God to do anything. Just saying, God, but God responds in these four ways, which is incredible because God is reaching him on every level here. Your prayers are not hitting the roof. They're reaching my ears. I'm well aware of who you are, what you've done, and I see how distressed you are. So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you another 15 years. But I want to bless you on top of that. I'm going to deliver you and the city out of the hands of your enemies. Incredible God that we serve. Church, are you still with me? It's an incredible God that we serve. And he's telling us to have faith, and we need to begin to pray in the same way. Now, what's the difference between complaining and crying to God? Well, complaining is generally just blowing off steam, isn't it? And we're so good at that when it comes to our prayer life and kneeling before God. We can just let loose, isn't it? We let loose. But the difference is when we cry, as we see Hezekiah doing, we're actually reaching out to God. That is the difference. We're meeting God at a level where He sees that even in this prayer, we still acknowledge Him as Lord and we want His will to be done. You with me? And sometimes, church, we don't even know what we ask for when we ask God for things. And sometimes He'll decline us. And we think He's just being a mean God. He's just being a God who just doesn't care. But can I share something with you? God, in all His faithfulness and honoring Hezekiah, you know, this prayer that maybe Hezekiah is praying to God and saying, God, if there is a chance, you know what happened over the next 15 years in Hezekiah's life? So at the time that God was going to take him, he was at his peak. But if we read through the book of 2 Kings chapter 20 and following, within the next 15 years, we read about a king called Manasseh. A horrible, terrible, unruly king who did not walk in the way of God. And all this work that Hezekiah had done was undone by Manasseh. So church, I want you to consider this morning, that when we pray to God, pray fervently, pray with a whole heart, but make sure that as you pray, you're still holding God in the highest esteem, understanding that His will must be done, must be done, must be done. Although what I want and I'm asking, and this is my desire, God, may Your will be done, may it supersede everything, and may You still be glorified. We see and we read through the next couple of years that God granted him, this king became very prideful in many ways. Very arrogant. Perhaps distant from God. So also be careful about what you ask God for and the way you appeal to Him. But God hears our prayers always. He sees our tears. He will bless us. And He will heal us. And that is the beauty of the God that we serve. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. Let's go to John, 1 John chapter 5. And we'll close off with this morning. 1 John chapter 5. So before we close off this morning, let's just note a few things. The first thing is that when your back's against the wall, when you have no other alternative, no other avenue, I hope that you respond in the way Hezekiah did, and that you actually turn your back against the wall and face the living God. Amen. I pray that you will cling to God always in your walk with Him. Prayer life, irrespective of what's going on within your life, how difficult it may be, how useless you may perceive it to be, that you will cling to Him when it comes to your prayer life. I also want you to remember that as you pray to God, that you reach out to Him with a sincere heart. Don't complain to God about the issues that you're facing. He's seen that. He knows that. What He's expecting of you is a response in faith toward Him and His ability to bring about victory in your life. Church, you still with me? And then as you're praying to Him, understand that He's hearing you, He's seeing you, and He's going to bless you. And along with that blessing will come incredible deliverance. These are the four things that He shows us in verses 5 and 6 of the book of Isaiah 38. And now we're going to close off with 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at 11 and verse 12 this morning. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the blessing that God has given you and I as His children. Irrespective of what's going on in your life right now, the position that you hold right now, understand that God has given you what, church, according to the text? Eternal life. Because you have Jesus. That's what the text is saying. So we've mentioned this before. If the word of God had come to you in the way of Hezekiah, what should your response have been toward God? Thank you, Lord. Cannot wait to come home. Church, you with me? Instead, this king's attitude is the opposite, isn't it? He wants to prolong his life on this earth. So our attitude to God should always be, thank you, God, for what I'm going through. And may your name be glorified, for you are King. Let's read verses 11 and 12 again, and then we can stand and sing. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. Has given us. Not going to, not thinking about it, we have it. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You and I sit here this morning having life, for we have Jesus. And in Him there is victory of the victory of the victory. May God continue to bless you. May He strengthen you. May He encourage you. And may you continue to cling to Him even more so as you continue to build a solid prayer life. Let's stand and sing.